This show is sponsored by Midi Health. There are great things that come with age: wisdom, experience, and knowledge, just to name a few. But if you're a woman over 40, it can also bring some less desirable things like hot flashes, insomnia, brain fog, moodiness, and weight gain, all symptoms of menopause and perimenopause. Yes, hormonal transition is a fact of life, but that doesn't mean you have to accept its symptoms as just another part of aging. Midi clinicians are menopause experts, equipped to support you with safe, effective, FDA-approved medications, as well as supplements, lifestyle coaching, and preventative health guidance. You'll come out of the experience feeling heard and with a plan to start feeling better. Midi offers accessible care. All their services are covered by insurance, and they're conveniently accessible through telehealth visits and 24/7 messaging. You deserve to feel great. Book your virtual visit today at joinmidi.com. That's joinmidi.com.
Look in the mirror time for Trevor Lawrence and the Jacksonville Jaguars. Welcome to the show, Maggie Gray, Andrew Perloff. It's funny because there was a poll that came out recently, Pearl, where the players thought that Josh Allen was the most overrated quarterback in the league. I think there was an overrated quarterback on the field last night in Buffalo, and that person was Trevor Lawrence, who we have seen and anointed and has been paid like a top receiver, and we have not seen it yet. And we've blamed Urban Meyer, rightfully so. Mm-hmm. We've blamed the general manager. We've blamed now Doug Peterson. We've blamed everyone under the sun. Lawrence was missing throws last night, and still people are blaming the defense. Lawrence was missing throws. Lawrence couldn't stop the bleeding. It's not a crime to criticize this dude when he deserves to be criticized. They went on the road. They're less than a touchdown underdog. That was supposed to be a game with your back against the wall down 0-2 in the season, and it was a walkover no-show.
Yeah, but to me it feels weird to put that whole thing on Trevor Lawrence, though. I mean, it was a complete team implosion. And if you're saying he's overrated, whatever, it was a mistake to sign him, what do you do now? I think it's very clear that coach has to go. And I like Doug Peterson personally, sure. But I think that was a full team failure. Yeah, Trevor Lawrence is like, his footwork looks like a baby giraffe learning how to walk.
Oh my goodness.
And he's totally inconsistent. But to watch that game and say, man, this is all on Trevor Lawrence. I mean, that was an all-time defensive letdown. Like, you could not possibly be worse. And it wasn't just that they were letting up the touchdowns. It was how easy Buffalo was doing it. Like, they could have gone 400 yards down the field before Jacksonville was going to stop them.
You're absolutely ridiculous. Right. Okay, and what is the best way to stop a hot offense?
There's only one way. It's run the ball.
No. Yes, or keep their offense off the field. Go on a sustained drive.
Yeah, you need to run. You can't be down by 30 points. You have to run the ball and play ball control football.
Okay, well, you get to being down 30 points by first being down a touchdown and then being down two. That should not be insurmountable for somebody who's getting paid like a top five quarterback.
I don't know. At some point, you have to make a play. It was 21-3 in the first quarter.
Well, everyone's looking around. Who are you looking at? ETN?
Like, well, you know, you're looking at where on earth is the defense?
Then if it's all the defense, then
it's not all the defense generally, but last night it was the defense.
Then why is Doug Peterson on the hot seat?
Because the defense played like they were not trying. He hired this defensive coordinator. It's on him.
I get it, and I think the head coach should answer for everything too. But let's keep it 100. Doug Peterson is an offensive side of the ball kind of guy, right? I mean, clearly. And it's like, if none of this is about Trevor Lawrence, then you would keep Doug Peterson and just keep cycling in defensive coordinators. But that's not going to happen.
But you don't have a notable defensive coordinator here. He's a first-year guy that nobody really knows. So it's not like it's a situation where this guy runs the defense and this guy runs the offense. Like, Doug Peterson is going to answer for this. It's not going to be Trevor Lawrence. You know that as a fact.
Listen, Trevor is not going anywhere. He's the franchise, but he's also got to show up in these big games, and he didn't.
I understand what you're saying. He's 0 in his last 8. Forget big games, any games. Like, I don't think like he's immune from criticism. I think generally everyone is a little down on him right now. But this to me is the entire product is off in Jacksonville. It's not just him. I think they've made some tragic personnel decisions that have really, the team around him is not great right now. And he's not well coached.
This was also basically a very similar team that they were 8-3 last year before Trevor Lawrence got hurt. And so you're almost willing to write off last year because he was definitely playing through injuries. And in some ways that's admirable. But that was a team last year. I picked them to go to the Super Bowl last year, and nobody said I was crazy. I thought they would win the AFC South and get a first-round bye and all that stuff. I had my reasons, and they didn't.
You had every reason to think that. I think they were a very popular choice because they had just won a playoff game, yeah.
Similar team. Who's missing? Calvin Ridley? Okay, Calvin Ridley's missing.
That actually does hurt.
They replaced him with Brian Thomas. I mean, would any of that?
Brian Thomas.
Yeah, Calvin Ridley's. What's Tennessee doing right now? I mean, that's obviously because of Levis. But you know what I'm saying? It can't just be one guy, and all of a sudden it's sunk. Not in a quarterback-driven league.
No, I totally understand what you're saying. But the defense this week, I forget the whole season because the defense is bigger. I mean, what happened last night? I'm sorry, Joe Burrow, Jaden Daniels combined were not going to win. Buffalo just was not to be stopped. If they wanted to score 100 points last night, they would have easily.
Yeah, they did. And there were no answers.
And not only were they not stopped, like there was not a situation where the Jags were even close to getting them off the field. I mean, there was 1-3-5, and Josh Allen had about 40 yards of green in front of him to run for it. There was nothing going on last night.
It was a thorough beatdown. Now, before we go crowning the Bills, though, which is this has been very fun for me to watch as a Bills fan, no doubt. I love the Josh Allen MVP chance. All that stuff is great. Let's see them play a team that's really good. And next week, the Ravens, who are coming off this big win at Dallas, that's going to be a very interesting one. So I'm still pumping the brakes a little bit. I still want to see more from the Bills.
You're peaking too early.
I don't want to peak too early. But these first halves against Miami and Jacksonville have been two of the most fun experiences as a fan that I've had in a long time.
It's going to be really fun at Baltimore, at Houston, and then at the Jets.
I know. I got to go to that game, don't I?
Oh, definitely. Monday night, though.
Do I just pull an all-nighter? All right, we'll talk about that.
Yeah, you got to go.
Are you kidding me?
You live in Jersey, though, so I feel like it's easier for you than someone lives in New York.
I'm so far out, though.
Yeah.
I'm not close to New York. Anyway, so that's what's going on with it. The other game, if that was the JV game, the varsity game really delivered. It was a back-and-forth shootout. Well, really, it was the Commanders took the lead, and then the Bengals were trying to catch up, and they couldn't. Jaden Daniels actually held them off, and it was the offense Perloff being aggressive, at, you know, Jaden Daniels using his legs, Terry McLaurin being a weapon, a huge catch that set them up at the goal line, which they ended up scoring on a big man touchdown, a thick six, if you will, and then a Terry McLaurin 27-yard reception in the end zone to ice it. It was just impressive all around from Jaden Daniels.
I mean, he is so good. The thing about him is what he can do in the pocket already. The game started, and I don't know if you guys saw this play. Basically, he got hit, and he just chucked the ball down the field and missed Terry McLaurin, was wide open. So Troy Aikman, in all his negativity, says, well, you know, Jaden Daniels hasn't really been seeing the field, not anticipating the way he should be. That's what I saw on tape, this play. The guy was getting tackled and threw the ball in the air, so it was, in my opinion, an unfair criticism. Doesn't miss a pass the rest of the night. And Troy's like, maybe I was wrong. I think you were wrong. Jaden Daniels is amazing. We saw in real time him ease into his NFL self. He's right back to LSU, Jaden Daniels. Crazy to me that Cincinnati couldn't get at him at all. I think they finally got one sack. The Hendrickson got around the edge. But the all of a sudden, Washington is dangerous. Now, is their defense any good? Are they like a real threat in any way? I'm not sure because Cincinnati moved the ball almost as easily.
Yeah, but again, it's Joe Burrow. He's like the top one or two quarterback in the league. Top three for sure.
Yeah, I mean, the Patriots shut him down.
Yeah, but then that's the thing. Like, oh, we can afford these slow starts and we'll just get back in there. It's like, well, maybe this is the season that comes back to bite you because you should not be 0-3. And you know you had that game at Kansas City in week two. You've known this for months. So you know that's going to be an extremely tough one. And instead, you messed around with the Patriots like it was still the preseason. And then, you know, you probably overlook Washington, too, thinking, oh, rookie quarterback, and we're going to confuse them and this, that, the other thing. And he looked awesome.
Yeah, I know. They did not see that coming.
So now you go to Carolina. I don't know what that was. I think the Raiders really helped that Panthers win, if you will. I mean, Antonio Pierce is talking about we might be benching Gardner Minshew. I mean, Davante Adams' body language could not be worse. Guys are making business decisions at the end of the game. Wouldn't you? But Andy Dalton put up these great numbers, Perloff, but like, how real is that? So now you've got this must-win game at Carolina, who knows, and then you are home for Baltimore.
Not
is there
good.
A world where this is 0-5?
Well, okay, we have to give them a win at Carolina because Carolina's defense should not be able to stop them. Of course, Andy Dalton probably go for 350, cool, three touchdowns. But no, we give Cincinnati the win there. That is a huge must-win game for Baltimore. If they win in Carolina, I hate doing the must-win thing. That's a must-win. Because otherwise, they're going to be boxed out of the playoff picture, kind of like they were last year, where, remember, they had the backup come in, Browning, and he was really good, but they just couldn't get over the hump of some early season struggles. So I am not convinced. They're my Super Bowl pick. 0-3 is not ideal. I guess an 0-3 team's never made the playoffs in the 17-game era. That's not good, but this is the best 0-3 team I've seen in a while. I mean, they were right there. They should have beaten the Chiefs. It was a one pass interference play. It was the right call. I'm not saying it wasn't there, but they were one pass interference play away from being the Chiefs. Last night, they just ran into the hottest quarterback in the league out of nowhere. Week one, I can't explain. They are way more talented than their record. Will you at least give me that?
Sure. And last night, there was another really controversial, what should have been pass interference call on T. Higgins. I mean, he basically gets mugged in the back of the end zone. They absolutely should have thrown the flag there. I get it if Bengals fans are salty about
that.
Well,
that meant no.
No, I don't know what it was going to
be. Game. Well, I mean,
Cincinnati is a 5-point favorite at the Panthers next week. And if Nick Costos were here, our betting expert from You Better You Bet, I bet he would tell you to take the points. Not to say that the Panthers are going to win outright, but wouldn't the better betting play be to take the points?
Oh, man.
So that, I'm just going to leave that there.
I'll bet you that spread goes up. I don't even think. I mean, Carolina? That defense?
Did you see what Derek Carr? The Raiders might be awful.
Did you see what Derek Carr did to the Panthers defense?
Yeah, I did. Anyway.
I mean, listen, it was like the Ravens-Cowboys game. I think desperation plays a role. The Panthers are not realistically playing for the playoffs. This is going to be an all-in game. Joe Burrow is going to run like crazy. They're going to throw to Higgins. They're just going to put Higgins and Chase over the middle. They're going to use every bullet in their chamber to try to win that game.
Okay. Ask you this.
Yeah.
You're the one who hates when quarterbacks run because they put themselves in harm's way.
0-3. There's no harm's way. Like, what do you have to lose? You're basically, your season's over if you go 0-4.
Well, I mean, it's not like Joe Burrow is not dealing with any kind of issue.
He's already
got a wrist issue. And so if he's going to sell out because you find yourself in an 0-3 hole, I mean, it's desperate. That's not a place where the Bengals should be. They shouldn't be this desperate. They should have a win on their resume. It should have been week one against New England, and they farted around and found out.
I'm not saying that it's ideal, but I'm just saying in this particular game, anything they're going to do anything possible to win this game.
That should have been last night.
But they didn't. You said earlier in the show, they took the Washington Commanders for granted.
Good teams, I don't think, do that.
That's not fair. Because the Bengals are a good team. I mean, they made it to the Super Bowl and they made it to the AFC title game and lost basically one play to the Chiefs. They'd say they're not a good team.
But it's like what I said last week, though. Like, they comport themselves like they have championship pedigree, that they can come from behind on anything, and they don't have a championship. So, yes, they may be a quote-unquote good team, but that's why I don't take them as a real contender, because real contenders definitely don't do what they did against New England and the Commanders.
We'll see. You're betting against Joe Burrow.
I'm betting against you, Joe. Your season's over.
It's one of the commandments on the show. Thou shalt not bet against Joe Burrow. We've been burned by this so many times. At Maggie and Pearl on X, do the Bengals make the playoffs this year? 86% are saying no, they do not. Now, we probably should have mentioned this when we talked about the Jags and that awful loss last night to Buffalo where they were not competitive. They are now 0-3 and go to Houston. So now they're going to a division rival. And Houston is a 6-point favorite. So if Doug Peterson is presumably on the hot seat, I would think. What happens if they lose by a touchdown to Houston on the road?
Yeah, he does have the advantage. There's not a lot of experienced coaches on his staff to take over for him. I mentioned that Mike McCoy, former Chargers coach, could do it. But I don't even know. It feels like two different conversations. For the Bengals, 0-3, like, ooh, we could still make the playoffs. For the Jags, it already feels like it's a lost season. I'm not even sure. Honestly, 0-4 really doesn't feel any different. They just lost 47-10 on Monday night.
I know. See,
it feels like this is not going anywhere.
I actually think that it's flipped, though, because if Pittsburgh and Baltimore are actually good teams, mm-hmm. then this is going to be much harder for Cincinnati. And I'm not super impressed with the AFC South yet.
Oh, boy.
And maybe Houston ends up becoming this great team. I just watched them basically no-show a game in Minnesota. The Titans are bad, and the Colts I would not trust at all.
If you guys had to pick one team to get out of this hole between Cincinnati and Jacksonville.
Cincinnati.
See, but it might actually set up a little bit better for the Jags.
Okay.
Just because the division is so bad.
Show bet?
Nah. No way. I'm not crazy enough to do that.
Yeah, what? Tell me, is Joe Mixon playing for the Texans?
That's a good question.
He's
dealing with that ankle injury.
I feel like they missed him a little bit. But I this could be totally wrong, but I feel like Houston was like, this is not our day on Sunday, and sort of mailed in the second half of the entire game.
I mean, I will say I thought the only win they had down the stretch last year was Jacksonville going on the road in a must-win situation and Trevor Lawrence outplaying C.J. Stroud, and they won a great game, but they were buttoned up, and it was one of the best performances they had all season. If there's any history to suggest they can maybe bow that up again, that maybe this is a favorable matchup for them, maybe you look at that. I mean, Trevor Lawrence is on one leg, and he was his best game of the year, I thought.
And that if somehow Jags were able to win this game in Houston, then that puts Houston at 2-2.
Right.
It's not like they're running away with anything. So, obviously, a lot more to be decided here. Also on X, which quarterback would you rather have for the rest of their career, Caleb Williams or Jaden Daniels? And Jaden Daniels winning that by a lot, 79%. You know what's funny? Let's just ask this question again next week at a random time just to see what the results are like.
I posted it like Wednesday at like 7 p.m.
Yeah, just random. No, we're not even on the air. That would be great. 855-212-4227. Okay, we have a lot more to do, including we've got to get to these 49ers injuries because we've got an update for you. Somebody is on their way to Germany to try to get some treatment. We'll tell you about that next.
All right, sports fans, listen up. 1 in 8 men will be diagnosed with prostate cancer, and bladder leaks can be a side effect. That's why Depend is teaming up with the Prostate Cancer Foundation to encourage screening, because health is a long game, and it's yours to win. Now, here's the cool part. Through November, Depend is contributing up to $300,000 to prostate cancer research by donating 40 cents for every purchase of shields, guards, and RealFit products. Void in Mississippi. Learn more at Depend.com. Nervous. I'm not going to lie. Welcome to Maggie and Perloff Show. Maggie has results of our latest show bet, and she looks awfully confident.
And hungry. That's just my normal look. Welcome to the show. This is actually Andrew Kaplan, the one and only who brought this to our attention, and it's from Andrew Marchand, who covers sports media for The Athletic, and it looks like Caitlin Clark's first playoff game, which you and I bet breakfast on, who was going to buy it for everyone here. You said the number would be $2 million. Mm-hmm. I said, I'm going under $2 million, going up against the NFL, yada, yada, yada. The number is in.
Okay.
1.8.
Oh.
Pony up, baby.
Why can't the Fever just get within 30 points? Now, what's the peak number?
Don't know, don't care. That's not what we bet.
Yeah, probably sit tight.
Wait, when did we not?
We never said peak number.
Here's the tweet. Hearing 1.8 million viewers for Caitlin Clark playoff game up against the NFL, impressive number.
Yeah, he's right.
Hearing.
Yeah. Doors open, Pearl.
I'm
going
to say this is not an official confirmation. I'm not going to buy today.
The stewards are still checking.
We need, I need those Nielsen boxes to be checked, double checked, triple checked. I am not paying off until I get an official tweet from Andrew Marchand that it is 1.8 million.
What are the hanging chads? I mean, are you
stay
hold
in
up?
Line. Hearing, you get the poll, stay in line. Yeah.
What if I buy breakfast
don't take
and
water.
Then it turns out, oh, the official numbers come in and it was 2.1.
Yeah. Well, then, oh my gosh, how bad was it? You bought breakfast for everybody. I'll reimburse you. But here's the thing. Andrew Marchand say, I'm hearing 1.8 is like at the draft when Woj is like, I'm hearing that the Hawks are going to draft so-and-so. Like, he's saying it because he's trying not to dime out some sources or something.
Ah, okay. It's the old Woj. I'm hearing that the Pistons are going to take this guy.
Yeah,
okay.
But I think if 1.8 is the rating, which is an average of the whole broadcast, I think you still might get your backdoor cover just for confidence that they did get over 2 mil at one point.
My lack of knowledge of what actually television ratings mean might play in my favor here. I think we have to go back to the original language of the bet. Ryan Botcher, I think you have to pull. Maybe I said something that helps me out with a peak number here. Maybe I have a backdoor cover.
I'm like 85% sure you did not say anything important.
85. I'll take that. So there's a chance is what you're saying.
That's not, I think, how he meant it. But sure, you want to take this thing to the courts? Go ahead.
Is it my fault that the Fever didn't show up at this game? Is it my? I mean, if that game was close, they would have gotten over this.
I mean,
number.
It kind of is, though. I mean, you have to like take into account, like, is this going to be a competitive game when you think about ratings?
It's Caitlin Clark.
You're going up against the NFL, Perloff.
It's Caitlin Clark. I thought she could move mountains. I thought she was the chosen one.
By the way, 1.8.
That's good.
Pretty damn good.
I mean,
when you're going head to head with, you know, 11 NFL games.
You're on ABC. Everyone is at their TV. You have to understand, like, that's a perfect window to really do well. I'm a little disappointed.
I think they need to be on Saturday. That was the mistake.
Yeah, it's hard to get big ratings on a Saturday. Yeah.
Also, ABC doesn't have the bandwidth on Saturday. They're playing college football.
That's the problem. They're doing the college football games. I don't know.
So what channels are they on tonight?
ESPN.
Yeah, I believe ESPN.
Yeah. Oh, that'll be a big number. She averages 1.4 in ESPN.
She's not tonight.
Oh, okay.
Tonight's the Liberty series, and then there's a later game. The Fever play tomorrow.
Oh, tomorrow night. Yeah, well, that'll do a great number.
Yeah, Wednesday is perfect. And by the way, this is not just a WNBA thing. I feel like all sports should know not to go up against the NFL. Now, some can't help it. It's baseball playoffs. You got to play the games or else you'll never get to a champion. But you go up against the NFL, you're asking a lot. And by the way, 1.8 on an NFL Sunday is pretty good. I think it's great.
Yeah, I read an interesting article in Sportico, the business journal, that they're a little bit worried that the non-Caitlin games are not doing well.
Well, I mean, what are you going to ask for here? Like, well, it doesn't happen overnight. Like, it's not a snap of the fingers, you know?
Well, it was, though.
For Caitlin.
Yeah.
And I think her, you know, rising tide is lifting the boats here. But you can't just expect all of a sudden, it's like, all right, you got all these casual viewers who are here for Caitlin. They're not going to automatically go to watch the Minnesota Lynx.
That being said, if I'm the officials in that Fever game, give him some calls to Caitlin. Do an NBA style.
A little wink, wink. Is Scott Foster all of a sudden show up? It's like, wait a minute. He's not
the
even
extender.
A WNBA referee.
Yeah. I don't know. If your numbers are that dependent on one player, then you better give him some calls on Wednesday night. I'm just saying.
That'd be funny.
Listen, the NFL. They're so much worse than the Sun. I don't know if they have a shot.
They were awesome the second half of the season. After the Olympics, what was their record, EJ?
No, they were great. It's just,
did they beat the Sun?
They did beat the Sun once, and they were red hot when they beat them. The Sun are like a championship contender, and they've owned the Fever this year except for that one game. Like, those three or four wins they had were all blowouts. Like, they were not competitive. So, and it's another road game. I know it's because of the limited travel. The WNBA doing the, you got your home field advantage is playing the first two games at home. If you're a lower seed, you're dead on arrival. When you're playing a rookie, a young team like the Fever in their first playoffs with this nucleus going up against a veteran team who owns them, they have no shot.
Hmm. Andrew Bogish is here, and we'll all just tabulate our breakfast order for tomorrow.
Can't wait.
What's going on today?
Lobster omelet. The nearly flawless offensive performance, the headline from last night in Buffalo, but don't forget that this happens.
Here's the snap, fakes the handoff, going to roll to his left, has time, throws deep over the middle, he overshoots Thomas, intercepted by DeMar Hamlin, coming the other way to the 45 as he races to the far sideline and is tackled at the 41-yard line by Farrell. It's an INT and another takeaway for the Buffalo defense. This time, DeMar Hamlin.
That's his first career INT, as heard on Bills Radio. Hamlin didn't play much last season in his return to health, but he's out there all the time now for these Bills.
It wasn't easy, but, you know, I'm super thankful to my teammates for just the support and the love. You know, that it was encouraging, and it makes all the emotions way easier when you just go out there and you think about, I just want to make plays for my teammates. You know, it makes it all simple again.
The Bills defense held the Jaguars to 3 points, 70 yards, and five first downs in the opening half, while the offense reached the end zone on all five of its possessions. It was a 47-10 final.
So, Maggie, you were mad last year that DeMar Hamlin didn't win comeback player of the year. It was Joe Flacco. Do you want him to win it this year?
I don't think that's right?
I don't know. I mean,
first of all, Aaron Rodgers is winning it. If he's healthy, no one's going to beat that out. But the other part is he's already back for a year.
Yeah, I mean, using your rookie of the year guidelines, you couldn't possibly back him for comeback player of the year.
Well, he didn't do much last year. But he didn't do much last year.
But he was back. Maggie's whole thing about like injured rookies in the NBA is they get a whole year of NBA doctors and courts and the lifestyle. So, I mean, he was there last year, just didn't get a jersey on Sundays.
He was playing in the playoff game. Sadly, because that was not a great play that he was involved in. But it's all good because DeMar had a big game last night. He deserves it. Yes. He deserves it.
And I will point out that I think I saw a flashback to years past out in the newsroom about 10 minutes ago because Pat Boyle asked Maggie how she was feeling about the Bills. And Maggie did this little giddy hop bounce that must have been like birthday morning. You walk downstairs, mom's making your favorite breakfast, there's presents somewhere, and there's Maggie just like shimmying through.
I was doing like a soft shoe.
Yeah.
If I'd had a top hat and a cane, I would have just like all of a sudden my shoes just turn into tap shoes. They're gigantic.
The building shook.
Everyone's deaf.
They're 3-0 in September. Just
I know it does feel like you're setting yourself up for a bit of a fall. You get so nervous about this team. I'm actually surprised. Normally you'd be like, yeah, we beat the Jags. It doesn't mean anything. Let's see next week. But you're letting yourself some optimism now.
No, I said you got the Ravens on Monday night. First thing out of my mouth, you got
the
Ravens.
But for now we dance.
Yeah, but I didn't know there was a jig involved.
But for now I shimmy to the ladies' room. I was basically like cabbage patching down the hall. Electric sliding to the wash my hands.
Pearl, what would be harder for you? A Maggie Super Bowl with the Bills or a Miami Hurricanes title?
And also, I have the Mets looming, too. This is all
you have some bad stuff happening for you.
Don't worry. This is not like we're not Chiefs fans or anything. We root for teams
worse.
that perennially let us down. Like, you can't.
I hear what you're saying.
You know, this is
Chiefs
not
fans
a
are
given.
Awesome, by the way. Do you have any friends or Chiefs fans? It's the coolest fan base there is. I know people find Taylor annoying, but they're like the most humble. Like, they know how to win.
Hey, by the way, what happened with the Travis Kelce when maybe was crying at the game on Monday night?
Ask Sunday TMZ. Night? I don't know. Ask TMZ. Ryan, you follow these things. Is there trouble in paradise?
No. Who cares?
Like, he wiped his eye in the middle of like a game where he's sweating and everyone's like, he's crying because Taylor's not here.
It wasn't that.
She's a busy woman.
It was the look on his face. It was far off.
I just love, during last night's call, Pearl off was like, is it over? And me and Maggie both were like, what, Travis's career? Because he's not making any catches. He's like, no, idiots.
Yeah. By the way, people think Travis, remember the blocking he was doing in week one? He was 30 yards downfield pancaking guys.
That's true.
I don't even care about that. I think that you're the one who always said this is a fake relationship. It's going to end.
It's due. The conspiracy says it's due to end. Is it
this
Saturday?
Week, right?
Yeah.
Saturday.
Yeah.
So
that's the leaked documents.
Yes.
And so now are they setting the scene where he like has a bad game, looks forlorn?
Well, I think Todd McShay called him out of shape yesterday. I think he broke the seal on that conversation. And I don't know, there's probably some fairness to like he did a lot of, he's in some weird TV show now too. Like, I think there's a conversation we had if he didn't do enough football in the offseason. Yep. This is why he can't catch a pass.
If Patrick Mahomes wins another damn Super Bowl, now without Travis Kelce being effective, I just think they should just quit football.
Shut down the sport.
Shut down the sport. We now know who the greatest football player is of all time. We thought he lost Tyreek Hill. No chance he's going to be able to do it without him. He's won two.
No, this is our only hope now is somehow he goes to baseball.
the
Michael Jordan thing is the only thing that can help anyone now who wants to win.
I didn't know that was a thing.
I'm not even sure he's the best player on that team anymore. I mean, that defense is single-handedly winning games.
McDuffie,
like, Mahomes does not even look great.
I know.
He's been kind of loose with the ball this year.
He's still going to find a way. Travis Kelce is going to be filming a show during the Super Bowl, and they're going to find a way to somehow beat the Eagles or the Cowboys or one of these teams.
Yeah, I mean,
Niners for the second, third time.
He had his first non-1,000-yard season last year and just tore up the playoffs. You guys are counting out Travis Kelce. Now, I am actually nervous because the stakes are rising on the more important thing, his relationship with Taylor Swift. Like, I think it's getting serious. I think she's saying some things to him. Hey, Travis, we've been dating for almost a year now. Where's that ring?
A year is not enough time.
A year? Wasn't her ex with her for like 8 years or something like that?
Yeah, you don't want to be that guy.
True.
Or maybe you do.
Was he really?
Here's the thing.
I knew you'd be good at this topic.
If you gave Travis Kelce truth serum, right? The guy's already won 3 Super Bowls. If you gave him truth serum and said you could either win a fourth or Taylor can perform at the halftime show and you can be on stage for that.
Oh,
no, he's winning a fourth.
Definitely taking a fourth.
100%. Yeah, what, he can be on stage whenever.
Yeah.
Yeah, I don't think being on it at halftime sounds that great.
Yeah, I think that'd be a bad move for him, too. If the Chiefs weren't in it and he was on the halftime show.
Okay, I'll switch it.
That'd be
He wins a fourth or he gets a number one movie. Marvel, whatever you want.
Yeah, all right. That might be more harder. Yeah. Okay. Kind of Jim Brown style.
Now I got you.
Yeah, you don't want him wandering through the weekend mirrors and getting lost on the halftime show. Like, or flying in like Lady Gaga. No, I don't think that's going to work.
Okay, sorry. Number one movie. And
I think he's taking the movie. I think he's taking the movie.
Because he's already a walk-in Hall of Famer. Like, there are 3 Super Bowls, 4 Super Bowls. What more? His legacy is cemented, no?
I mean, to Bogus' point, I feel like this, and he's a great player. He's a Hall of Famer. He may be the greatest tight end ever. But this offseason has told me where his priorities are moving forward.
Yeah. The end is near.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. And he knows that.
I think you guys are counting out this man on the football field way too much.
It's not that he can't play. I just think that he knows that. What does a fourth title do for you? Like, that's why he's trying to expand the portfolio so when his career is over, he's going to have all the opportunity. So, again, if he could sacrifice winning a fourth, but he knew he's going to be next Dave Bautista or someone like that, like, I think he's not even thinking twice.
But last offseason, the offseason before, he hosted SNL 2 years ago, and, he was already starting to expand. He has this giant marketing team that's quite well-known behind him. He was already starting to spread his wings, and he still won the Super Bowl last year almost single-handedly.
But it feels like if you go back and do a dateline of his offseason, he was always now obviously he can work out in Brazil or Europe or whatever, but they were flying all over the place, back and forth to the States, doing it. He seemed too busy, and then you throw this on top of it.
I just think you guys are counting out this man.
I'm not saying no.
And you're a Bills fan and you're a Jets fan. Third down in the AFC title game, I don't care where he was in July. He's going to be a dangerous man.
But then my question, though, is why because I thought it was interesting in the postgame, Andy and Patrick Mahomes basically were like, hey, they're just taking him away. That's why we can't give him the ball. I'm like, well, they've been trying to take Travis Kelce away for 11 years.
Yeah.
So now this year is the only year that they've somehow figured it out in the first 3 games. I don't buy that.
They don't even run routes. It's just the backyard football type stuff. They just sort of are in sync, right? Isn't that the beauty of Kelce is just – he and Mahomes just have this sort of connection.
What did we say last year, though? Maggie and I both said it, why are people not concentrating on Kelce? It was stunning in the playoffs. I think they were suckered in by the regular season. Why you're not, putting somebody who could, really using a DB on Kelce? So, you see, Mahomes is thrown to a lot of other open guys. I'm not sure that that's totally a lie. I mean, first of all, every time, what's the other guy's name? Noah Gray?
Yeah.
Every time he catches the ball, I'm like, Kelce with the catch. Oh, no, it's Noah Gray. They're like their Bills. They're spreading it all over the place. I think there could be something. I am still on Travis Kelce. I'm not giving up on this man. I am worried about the relationship, though. I have to admit, for the first time, I mean, where was she? That was, kind of a big game.
Atlanta, you would think that's a city that she
would.
That's
a great airport. She would come in and out.
Great airport. Give me a break.
Primetime game.
Let's worry about the Bengals for a second.
I mean, great, but it's the easiest place to fly. There's 1,000 flights to Atlanta.
She's not taking a commercial flight to Atlanta.
I guarantee you
can get business class or Delta with points easily, Bogus.
If you are getting stranded somewhere overnight, 9 times out of 10, it's Atlanta.
Yeah,
true.
The Bengals, good at being 0-2. They usually rally in week 3, but not last night. A 38-33 home loss to the Commanders, keeping Zach Taylor's team winless.
I knew that was a dangerous team, and they were ready for us, and they made more plays than we did today. You got to give them a ton of credit. They dictated the flow of the game, and we couldn't do enough to create a turnover, make a play for ourselves, and go win the game.
The Commanders did not punt, did not turn the ball over. Aside from kneeling out the first half and the win, they scored every time they had the ball. Jaden Daniels, 21 for 23, 254 yards, 2 passing touchdowns, and 1 rushing. UNLV is reportedly reconsidering its options after Utah State accepted an invite to the Pac-12. Yesterday began with those two confirming their spots in the Mountain West, but the Aggies changed all of that. At the moment, both of these leagues have 7 members, 1 shy of the requirement to be a conference. The Phillies are NL East champs for the first time since 2011. You'd think that's good news, but apparently they are doomed. They did struggle their way through locker room champagne after beating the Cubs last night 6-2. I don't want to alarm anyone, but we're 2 days into NHL preseason. The Utah Hockey Club played its first game in Salt Lake City last night, topping the Kings in overtime 3-2.
Is that the name?
That's the name for this season.
God, we had so many good options.
Yeah, and then they realized that it takes a long time to pick one and like make it a thing and market it, so they that next year will have an actual name. The thing I don't know about, though, is what they're doing with their like color scheme. Like they're wearing, I think, like a navy blue or like a slate gray and a light blue. I don't know if that will be their colors next year or if that's also temporary, because it fits like the winter theme, which is all of the basically all the name finalists.
Yeah, I thought Utah Freeze was going to win.
I like Yeti still.
And Yetis, that's the other good one.
Yeah.
It wasn't Hockey Club a finalist, though?
It is under consideration for the full thing, yes.
So that has to have a lead, right? It's already the name.
I don't know.
It's the incumbent.
But don't you wish that, like, the Commanders won last night, big game. Shouldn't they just still be the Washington football team?
Yeah, 100%.
I want them to Red Tails.
Yeah, that would be good, too. Anything's better than the Commanders.
Yeah, somehow they picked the worst of all the options.
Yeah.
It's like ranked voting or something. No one ever gets what they want.
But now they have Jaden Daniels, it kind of works.
It doesn't matter what the team's called now.
It could be anything.
Just the Washington Jaden Daniels.
The Washington JDs.
Let me say goodbye this morning with some awkwardness. Lane Kiffin did a Get Ready With Me social media video with his daughter before Ole Miss's game with Georgia Southern on Saturday. Have you seen this, Maggie?
I did see it. Okay, so, that's why I gasped.
So Landry Kiffin is the daughter, and apparently she knows how to stir the pot.
My mom's coming today for her parents' weekend. She gets in at like 1. How do you feel about that?
She hasn't been in a game all year, but, you know, we are ranked 5th in the country, so everybody loves the winner.
I can't show you the look he then made at the phone recording this. But Layla, infamous former Mrs. Kiffin, they've been divorced for 8 years, and apparently she's back because the Rebs, at that point, number 5, they dropped the spot, so I don't know where she stands for their coming game.
I'm so glad to now know they're divorced.
They've been divorced for a long time.
I know. I didn't know, and I didn't do the 2 seconds of research it would have taken. I'm like, man, they must have a unique relationship that they can just laugh about this on social media, that she's not living there. Like, oh, ha-ha. Like, where does she live? L.A.? Something like that. Anyway, that makes a lot more sense now they're divorced.
Yeah.
You know what I thought was a little bit interesting about this? So this is a young girl, right? She's in college.
And goes to Ole Miss as well, like her dad.
So she's putting on all this makeup, which is kind of what girls are into now. You know, this like social media. You know, Perloff, your daughter Lucy is super into makeup. She's like 13 or 14. So makeup makes you look older. It doesn't make you look younger. There's a fallacy about makeup.
Right.
So she looks older, the daughter does. Mm-hmm. When they first came on the TikTok, I thought this was his girlfriend.
Right, because the girlfriend, shockingly, is a young, beautiful blonde.
Right.
Yes.
And I was like, oh, it's his daughter. Phew. But the makeup is making these young girls look very old.
Yeah. When it started, I didn't think she was in college. And then by the end, she looked like she had a graduate degree with all the makeup she put on.
Exactly. Oh, yeah. There we go.
I find it more I like sort of the dirty laundry of this divorce, by the way. Not to like, that sounds pretty fun, because you would think a college football coach is used to being on camera would say something non-inflammatory, but he basically torched her right there.
Lane Kiffin.
I think they got divorced. It must have been when he was at USC, right? 9 years ago, 8 years ago?
It was 2016. I think it might have been after USC, or it was in the process as USC was ending.
Yeah.
But yeah, it's been, I didn't realize how long it's been over. I knew it was over, but I didn't realize it's been 8 years.
I'll take more of this. This is fun stuff.
The rest of the video is hard to watch.
I like watching Ole Miss football. Got a great offense. This is an awesome college football year. This is another little subplot to follow.
Maybe they'll reconcile.
Not after this one.
You see, maybe somehow Ole Miss wins the national title, and then out on the field comes Lane and his ex-wife, and they embrace. No?
I can see the ex-wife running out. I can't see an embrace.
She's probably glad she's gone, too. Anyway.
Yeah, yeah. You're saying...
This might have been a good parting of the ways.
Yeah, being married to Lane Kiffin might be tough. Any college football coach is tough. Let's just say that and leave it there.
Sure.
Yeah. Okay.
You did say you wanted to end it awkward. Mission accomplished. To be honest, this is where I miss Pete.
Yeah.
I'm a great time.
Why, you want anger right now? You want him yelling? Come on! on.
It's not that I don't love Ryan and Manny and Pat and everybody else, but they haven't been divorced.
Yeah, the divorce humor from Pete is elite.
It's amazing.
Bogus will throw it out the best times. He's like, yeah, like your marriage? And Peele just said, yeah, that thing.
It's
like,
which
it's
one?
It's like Kenny Smith asking Charles about the women in San Antonio.
Yeah, it's a slam dunk every time. Yeah,
I actually did it to him this morning in person because had he been sitting here, I would have used my line that I used on his last day. I would have said, the Bills scored last night like Pete did between marriages. And I walked in, so I just opened his door and I said it to him at like 5:25 this morning because that was my best chance.
How'd he take it?
He appeared to be in the middle of production, so I think it was a bad time for me to bother him.
I'm actually surprised.
That what?
That he scored between marriages.
Oh, that's yet to be confirmed. I'm just going to be nice and assume he did.
Yet to be confirmed. Let's just not go to the videotape. All right? This doesn't have to be a booth review.
Please.
All right. 855-212-4227. And I will make it more awkward. Anything you can do, Bogish, I can make more of it. Okay, we have a lot to do, including the one story we have not gotten to yet. We must do this before the day is done. We'll do it next.
This show is sponsored by Midi Health. There are great things that come with age. Wisdom, experience, and knowledge. Just to name a few. But if you're a woman over 40, it can also bring some less desirable things, like hot flashes, insomnia, brain fog, moodiness, and weight gain, all symptoms of menopause and perimenopause. Yes, hormonal transition is a fact of life, but that doesn't mean you have to accept its symptoms as just another part of aging. Midi clinicians are menopause experts, equipped to support you with safe, effective, FDA-approved medications, as well as supplements, lifestyle coaching, and preventative health guidance. You'll come out of the experience feeling heard and with a plan to start feeling better. Midi offers accessible care. All their services are covered by insurance, and they're conveniently accessible through telehealth visits and 24/7 messaging. You deserve to feel great. Book your virtual visit today at joinmidi.com. That's joinmidi.com.
All right, got some tough injury news. Listen up, Detroit Lions fans. Frank Ragnow, obviously the standout offensive lineman, center, right? Torn pec. Now, Dan Campbell saying he might try to play through it. That's going to be...
Frank Ragnow's famously tough, too, right? Isn't he? That'd be cool.
Well, that's going to be really, really tough. The pec, I mean, how are you even effective?
I have no idea.
Especially at that position. So, anyway, that's a big one. And you've got, what is it, Seattle coming to Detroit this
week. Yeah, I mean, we don't really know who Seattle is.
That's true.
But Detroit is running like no. They're getting more running back runs than any team in the league. So I'm not panicked about that. As long as they have Sewell and they have Jahmyr Gibbs and Montgomery, like I still feel like their offense is going to operate.
I know, but the one thing is, Goff hasn't looked amazing.
No,
this
he
season.
Is. He has definitely been shaky.
Okay, so take away your center, that might shake things up a little bit. That's not exactly what you want for a quarterback. I wouldn't say he's struggling. I think that's too hyperbole, but he hasn't been playing awesome.
I think they want to minimize Goff there, which doesn't sound ideal for just a $50 million quarterback. But obviously, I think they want to run the ball. I think Dan Campbell's like, you know what? We got to control the game. And then just try and get a lead and then unleash Aiden Hutchinson on the other quarterback. It's a formula. I mean, they definitely tripped up against the Bucs, but I think if you watch that game, like they easily should have won that game. They kind of screwed them over by making a terrible mistake. I think they're okay. I picked the Packers to come out of the NFC, but I was debating the Lions. I still think there's a formula where the Lions come out on top because the rest of the NFC looks vulnerable.
Well, actually, the NFC, a little vulnerable, but also in some spots, except for the Cowboys and the Eagles, who I have no idea what's going on and how the seasons are going to go with them. If they turn out, if both of those teams turn out to be okay, then, you know, listen, you got to see what's going on with the 49ers, who, by the way, put Javon Hargrave now is going to be out because he's dealing with a partially torn tricep. They're saying he will probably miss the rest of the season. So just if you're keeping track at home, you've got Dre Greenlaw, who's been out, who won't be back till the middle of the year. Javon Hargrave is now out. Christian McCaffrey, we found out yesterday, is in Germany right now getting treatment. This is like what Kobe Bryant made famous all those years ago for blood spinning in Germany. I doubt he'll be back and ready anytime soon. I don't know how quickly that stuff kicks in. He's not injured reserve
Kobe
anyway.
Did Kobe come right back after all that stuff? You only do blood spinning when you're close.
I thought Kobe did in the offseason. I don't remember him ever doing it mid-season. But okay. Maybe I'm wrong about that. I have to go back. You have George Kittle is now questionable. Debo is doubtful. Purdy even end up on the injury report this week with back issues because of a couple hard hits that he took against the Rams.
Yeah, no, this could be one of those years. But that being said, they still have a lot of time. They're 10-point favorites this week. They're still okay. I was wondering if the Lions had caught them in the NFC. They are still the Niners are still the NFC favorite despite all those injuries, with the Eagles and Lions tied for second. I think it's a wide open division. And even with the Niners panicking, I just think that there's gonna be an opportunity for them to right the ship. If they win this game, they should be 2-1, and then they should beat the Patriots, who are in a rebuilding year. I still feel like there's a path for them to be okay, because now it looks like they have a real quarterback. You know, that's what Brock Purdy's about to get the bag.
Yeah.
That's what Brock Purdy can do. Maybe he can make you okay. Maybe he can withstand this rash of injuries and they all come back at some point.
Well, you got to hope that.
Also, Hargrave has not been great there. He is not the same player after he got paid.
Man, you're right about the NFC, though. Yeah, this really does make some way for the Packers when Jordan Love comes back, if he can be healthy. The Vikings, if Sam Darnold can keep this up, they got good news on his knee yesterday. Maybe if the Saints are actually real.
Okay, now we're getting ridiculous.
Commanders coming off a big win.
Oh, which you might as well throw in Andy Dalton and the Panthers while you're at it.
I was getting to them. Thank you, EJ Stewart. Thank you to Ryan Botcher. Thank you to Andrew Bogish, Andrew Kaplan, Weedo's Coffee Drinkers. You guys are the best. We'll see you back here tomorrow on Wednesdays. We do the great debate. Bye.